views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio, CRN Digital Talk, and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and knowledge, because every week on Lucid Planet Radio, we have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself. And you can find out more at lucidplanetradio.com. You can also download all of our podcasts for free on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Stitcher, etc. Just search for Lucid Planet Radio. And I also want to welcome all of our new listeners tuning in on CRN Digital Talk, bringing us to over 11 million homes in the U.S. and over 100 countries. You can visit the website to find out more about how to become an advertising partner or how to nominate yourself or someone for the show. Again, lucidplanet.com. Now, today's show is about one of my favorite things, which is most people's favorite things, which is sex, love, relationships, and particularly open relationships. Now, if you've listened to some of my past shows, or if you've been to some of the Poly 101 workshops that I've offered with my partner, Jimmy Ohm, you know that since about 2012, my relationships have transitioned a lot. I went from being married to divorce, to being in a closed relationship, to being in an open relationship, to being with couples and groups, to then being poly, and then being more broadly kind of non-monogamous. I have always felt that monogamy was not right for me. That doesn't mean that it isn't right for other people. But, you know, a lot of evolutionary psychology supports this notion. You know, prior to the introduction of agriculture 10,000 years ago, I've heard it argued that humans lived in polyamorous kinship groups where they would share their responsibilities for childcare and even their partners. So this is just a different way of looking at things. It doesn't mean it's any better or any worse than being monogamous or non-monogamous. It's really just about trusting yourself and what feels right for you. So people ask me for advice a lot, how to open up their relationships, deal with jealousy, manage their time. And I always try to remind people I'm really new to this and I'm still learning and I'm still making mistakes. And I'm sure that my guests today, Franklin View and Eve Rickert, would say the same thing, that they are still learning. But I will say they have been non-monogamous and poly much, much, much longer than I have. And they even wrote one of the best books on the topic, which is called More Than Two, A Practical Guide to Ethical Polyamory. Let me tell you a little bit about them. They're both here today. Franklin View, he has been ideologically polyamorous his entire life, functionally polyamorous since 1984, and writing about polyamory since 1998. And he really, this started when he took two girls to the high school senior prom. And he currently has five partners and lives in Portland, Oregon. And Eve Rickert has been living poly since 2008, although her roots go back much deeper to when she first learned the word polyamory in 1998, to her first swingers party in 2006, and her current three long-term relationships. So much to talk about. And I just really want to welcome Eve and Franklin to the show. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Wonderful to have you here. Guys, before we get started, I want to clarify, you're a couple, correct? Or you're in a poly relationship with each other and
yes,
other people?
We are a couple.
I guess couple is the wrong word.
We're also in couples with other people, I suppose you could say.
Couple is kind of a tricky word when you're talking about non-monogamy.
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely. Relationship.
It's funny, I threw that out there right off the back, and as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, ooh, but you know, this is part of the, I'm kind of glad it happened, because this is part of what we go through. Language can be a huge barrier when we're talking mm-hmm. about anything non-traditional, and especially something as deeply rooted as relationships. And guys, there's a lot of different language to describe the different types of relationships that can exist in non-monogamy. So there's mm-hmm. open relationships, polyamory. Can you help us understand the difference and kind of how to work with the language here?
So I answered yes to the question of whether we are a couple, because our relationship in many ways resembles what people refer to and is what people refer to as escalator relationships. So the relationship escalator is the idea that there's sort of a predetermined pathway that relationships are expected to take. You start dating, you have sex, you fall in love, you move in together, you get married, and then you die.
Yep.
So that is after a long period of being long distance with each other, that is the form that my relationship with Franklin has eventually taken.
Well, we haven't died yet.
You got time.
For a long time. But, you know, we discuss growing old together. But each of us has other relationships that are that don't fit that mold at all. And but I think most people looking at escalator type relationships, that's what they're thinking of when they talk about couples.
Mm-hmm.
And can you have escalator relation? Oh, I'm sorry, Franklin. I was just wondering if you can have multiple escalator relationships.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know polytriads and quads who live together, who own a house together, who raise kids together, you know, all of the things that we normally think of as what couples do. And I actually, for a very long time, was sort of, you know, traveling constantly back and forth between Portland, Oregon, and up here in Vancouver, because I have a live-in partner in Portland and, Eve, a live-in partner up here in Vancouver. So in that sense, it was an unusual escalator relationship in the sense that we weren't living full-time together. But I think that's even common in monogamy. For example, you'll have people who are long distance truckers or who are on military deployment and they don't necessarily live with a partner, but we still recognize that as being a couple.
Absolutely. And so do you think it's natural for people to transition through different phases, as in it could begin not as an escalator relationship and then become one, or you could be in one and then it would change? Is that like a normal thing that happens, do you think?
Definitely. Speaking of having two escalator relationships, Franklin and I are sharing a home with my husband, with whom I had a, you know, pretty escalator type relationship for well over a decade. We've transitioned now and are in the process of separating our marriage, but we intend to continue to live together as family. But, you know, we have separate rooms now, which I suppose isn't all that different from a lot of very long married couples. But certainly that is that's a relationship that's transitioned from what most people saw as a conventional relationship to something that is quite different from that. And that's something you see, you see that in monogamy.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But I think monogamy often has a lot more sort of very bright dividing lines as to what's a relationship and what's not. And a lot of people who are polyamorous don't see those lines and allow for more fluidity for their relationships to change and evolve.
Yeah. Which is it would be fun to also apply those rules to monogamy in a way. Mm-hmm. One thing I've learned, and I definitely learned a lot about this in the book, the skills you need to be polyamorous are really the skills you would need for a monogamous relationship as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And, right? So it's not like one set of rules for being polyamorous and one set. I mean, what would you guys say are some of the most important skills that you need to really work on in order to be kind of successfully and well-adjusted and happy to be poly?
I would think that most of those skills, like you said, are the same skills you need to have a well-adjusted and healthy monogamous relationship. You need to be able to communicate with your partner. You need to be comfortable being vulnerable. If you're uncomfortable with vulnerability, then intimate relationships are going to be very difficult for you. You need integrity. You need compassion. You need good conflict resolution skills. You know, you don't want a relationship in which your conflict resolution means like ignoring your partner or getting mad and throwing things, for example. Yeah, we're talking about relationships here, really.
I think And, you know, of course, keeping in mind that all of us are works in progress and that, you know, it's not like we have to gain all of these things and be great at them before we dive into our relationships. It's just that we need to be committed to working mindfully to improve those skills all the time in all of our relationships. Mm-hmm. I think another thing that is really important, and it's important in all relationships, but especially in non-monogamous relationships, is the ability to cultivate secure attachments and to make your partners feel connected and loved and secure with you, even when this is especially important when you're dealing with things like jealousy or, splitting time between multiple partners. The ability to really make your partner feel their relationship with you is not at risk is an important thing to learn. And that's been shown for monogamous relationships as well.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to talk more about this, because those really are, in my experience, and also, you know, when you talk to people about this, their response is usually, well, how can you share partners and not be jealous? And how do you manage your time? And I have several write-in questions from people, and we'll talk about this when we come back. But people have been writing in, and you can write in on Twitter, The Lucid Planet, or Facebook. People are writing in saying, okay, well, how does he has five partners and she has three. Do they work? How do they have time to do what they do in life? They're like, what, how do they do this? So we're going to take a quick break here on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And when we come back, Franklin View and Eve Rickert are going to talk to us about really navigating some of the biggest challenges in open relationships, dealing with jealousy, time management, and more. So stick with us. And if you've ever thought about wanting to be polyamorous or just learning more about it, this show is going to have a lot of great content for you. So stick with us, and we'll see you in a moment.
Introducing The Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit The Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Brand consultant and coach Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're a person with a dream and unsure where to start, or a CEO of a successful company wondering what's next, Jen Morgan and the RAD method empowers you to play to your strengths and focus your competitive edge so you can show up in the world as your most powerful brand. Go to jenmorgan.com or call 206-972-5366.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. It's that relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the entire body. Every organ has an electrical charge, and when overcharged or undercharged, dis-ease occurs. And it is an effort to go through our day. We are able to determine the exact disease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guests today are Franklin Vo and Eve Rickert, who are talking with us about navigating open relationships. And before I continue, guys, I want to make sure that everybody knows how to contact you to find out more about the book More Than Two, as well as your exciting and new upcoming projects you might have going.
So the best way to find out about what's going on with us is to follow our Facebook page, which is just More Than Two Book. And also, if you go to the website morethan2.com, there's a place where you can sign up for our newsletter. We email the newsletter list very infrequently, and it's only when there's a launch of a new project or the publication of a new thing, that sort of thing. So a couple of times a year, we'll email that list.
Awesome. So you're not going to spam us every day.
Right. And you can also follow us both on Twitter, and it's just Eve Rickert and Franklin Vo.
Perfect. So yeah, you guys are out there, and you also have on your website some really great resources, little kind of blurbs and printouts and stuff for people just getting into it. Maybe the idea of a whole book is daunting, and so there's some really good stuff on their website, and I strongly recommend it. It's definitely helped me a lot. So thank you guys.
And I want to mention two other things really quickly. We've published a mini ebook that's just about jealousy. So it's called Polyamory and Jealousy. And it's an adaptation and expansion of the jealousy chapter in More Than Two. So if you're not ready to dive into a 500-page book, but you really want to just get some tips on jealousy, you can look at that. And awesome. Franklin is currently running an Indiegogo to do a reprint of his human sex map posters. So he has done a very large map of human sexuality that's become a very popular poster and a very popular internet image. And it's on Indiegogo right now, and it's just human sex map. So you can find that via the More Than Two Facebook page or via Franklin's Twitter feed as well if you can't find it on Indiegogo.
Everything's on there. I definitely need a human sex map. We'll talk during the break for sure.
Yes, you do.
I definitely do. So you brought up the ebook on jealousy, and I'm glad you did, because that really seems to be, potentially the biggest stumbling block to people. They know that they want to be with more than one person, but they can't stand the thought of their partner being with someone else, because that means that that's resources and attention that's not going to them. And, you know, the reality is we're not taught ways to cope with jealousy. That's like an emotion that our society seems to almost encourage us to have jealousy and be competitive. So what is your advice for people looking to open up their relationship but concerned about jealousy, or who are in it or trying it and who are going through the jealousy?
So the thing about jealousy is that we sort of give it almost this cultural mythology, right? Everybody's like, oh my God, I could never do that because, you know, what if I get jealous?
Yes.
Jealousy is just an emotion. It's not any different from any other emotion. You know, if it would be very strange to us if somebody were to come up and say, you know, I've really always wanted to be in a romantic relationship, but I just can't do it because, you know, what happens if I get sad? Or what happens if I get angry? You know, we know that you feel things, right? And these are normal human emotions. There is nothing intrinsically bad about them. And sometimes you feel sad. Sometimes you feel happy. Sometimes you feel afraid. Sometimes you feel angry. And that's okay.
And, I mean, of course, jealousy is a really, really yucky emotion. And especially if it's something you don't have a lot of experience with managing. And so it's very tempting to try to just make it go away. Or to never have to experience it. So, you know, one way is to simply never challenge that by seeking monogamous relationships, and that's valid. Another way is, and this was really popular in polyamory and has been changing in the last 5 years, is to, you know, try to make lots of rules to avoid ever having to feel jealous. So, you know, if you control everything your partner does with their other partners, then maybe you can make those jealous feelings go away. But they tend to pop up in all kinds of places. So, you know, really...
Good point.
The two things that we've... and we actually, in our jealousy ebook, have... I think it's a 7-step process for dealing with jealousy. But it really comes down to two things. And one of those things is comfort, you know, connecting with your partner, getting, you know, again, reassuring that connection. So touch, cuddling, just, you know, being able to spend some time with them. And because that immediate visceral experience of jealousy can be really overwhelming, especially if it's new. And if your partner's not available to you, like if they're on a date and that's when you're feeling the jealousy, either seeking that comfort from another partner or learning ways to self-soothe until they can be available to you. And then once that sort of you're past the intense emotional part of it and are able to maybe think a little bit more clearly, a lot of people find that jealousy is a signal of some underlying issue. Either some underlying issue in the relationship or in yourself. So some kind of insecurity, something that you're not getting, that you need, that sort of thing. Not always. It's sort of accepted as canon among a lot of polyamorous people that jealousy is always a sign of something else. We don't really believe that. Sometimes jealousy is just jealousy. For me, I suffer from anxiety, and sometimes jealousy is simply a manifestation of my own anxiety. So I guess that is jealousy is pointing to something else, but it's not a thing that I can just make go away, because you don't just make anxiety go away. You learn coping skills.
You know, I love this discussion because you said at the beginning how, yes, you know, you can avoid the jealousy by just being monogamous, but the most jealous people I know are in monogamous relationships already. And so the jealousy is not something that just comes along with being poly. The difference is, when you're poly, it's out in the open. And so instead of, you know, like having secret lustful feelings for someone else, but not having the courage to talk about it, so your partner maybe isn't overtly aware of it, they can still sense something's going on, but it's like hush, hush. But poly brings it to the surface. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. Another thing that people often ask about is like related to the jealousy, which is like this fear, like, well, if we open up our relationship, then what if this person, you know, what if they decide to leave me for someone else? Mm-hmm. What if they like that other person more than me? How do you guys respond to that?
Well, it seems a little weird to say, well, what if they meet somebody else and then they leave me for that person? Because, you know, when you're in a polyamorous relationship, the whole premise is you can be with more than one person.
Right. They don't have to leave.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And when you're monogamous, it is always possible that your partner can meet somebody else and leave you. That is a real risk. It absolutely can happen, and there's nothing that you can do to make that go away. You can try. You can try to control who your partner talks to. You can try to say, well, you're not allowed to have any friends of the opposite sex or of whatever sex you're attracted to. You're not allowed to talk to people if I'm not there. Those are not healthy adaptations. I don't believe that they lead to healthy relationships. And the reality on the ground is, if you're going to be in romantic relationships, you have to accept that your partner can leave. That is the truth. That's all there is to it. Nothing you can do can prevent that. And love is not for the timid. Love requires courage.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I think we need to acknowledge the reality that this fear is a fear that is realized quite often in polyamory. I mean, you know, Franklin has a memoir about the end of his marriage, which was, you know, tied in with a new relationship, although it wasn't a situation where, you know, he left his wife for another partner, but he, through that relationship, that new relationship, realized that he and his wife wanted different things and were no longer compatible. You know, used to be in a nesting escalator type partnership with my husband. I'm now in one with Franklin. That's something that has changed. But I don't know if I would still be in that partnership with my husband if I weren't with Franklin. And I have a feeling I probably would not be. There's, you know, the memoir, The Husband Swap, by Luisa Leontiades, is about a situation that is extremely common in polyamory, where two couples start dating each other as a quad, and the two original couples end up splitting up and forming two new couples. That's actually something that you see a lot, and it's sort of ironic because a lot of couples trying out polyamory will say, well, we'll only date other couples because that's safe.
Right.
So it does happen. But as Franklin says, it happens in monogamy, too.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys are raising a really good point, which is the nature of life is that we flow in and out of each other's lives and that we all change and grow as a result of it. And so we never know what's going to happen. But that doesn't mean, are you just supposed to never open up your heart and never try? Whether you're monogamous or poly, you can get hurt. And I think going back to what you said, Eve, at the start, it's about having coping skills and being able to self-soothe and being able to find comfort in yourself and know that you're going to be okay no matter what. And that's my whole thing going into any relationship, because I've been divorced, I've been through a lot. So it's like any relationship I'm in, I'm like, okay, if this doesn't work, I'm still fine. So we're going to go for it, you know, but if your self-esteem is totally attached to the other person, then it's going to take you on a really, really intense roller coaster.
Yep. And I think also having strong social networks so that we're not completely dependent on our partners for love, right?
Yes. Yeah, well, it's funny. You guys talk about it in the book, too, very quickly before we go to break. You guys talk in the book about how when you're in a couple, it's almost like socially acceptable to be totally codependent and not be individuals, right? But then when you're poly, it's much more of an individual thing. And for me personally, I find that to be a healthy approach. Right? So we all have seen that. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back on Lucid Planet Radio here with Franklin Vo and Eve Rickert, we're going to talk more about open relationships and specifically dealing with time management when you're dating more than one person. Oh my goodness. So stick with us and we will be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello, we are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I am here with Eve Rickert and Franklin Vo talking about polyamory and navigating open relationships. And guys, before we went to the break, we were talking about kind of jealousy and fear and insecurity and kind of where all of that stems from. And I feel like in practice, one of the things that is possibly the most related to all of that and one of the biggest challenges is time management. How do you find time for all of the people you're dating? We know, like, even being with one person can be draining, or two, but I know, Franklin, you have 5 partners, and Eve, you have 3 partners, and you guys were telling me at the break, you've been together for a very long time with these partners, so you must be doing something right. What is the secret, in your opinion?
Well, did you want us to repeat how long we've been with our partners? You mentioned during the break.
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay. I would love that.
So, I've been married for 16 years, and as I said, my husband and I are transitioning right now, and I no longer really refer to him as a partner. I have been, there's a woman I've been seeing, she's now long distance, for about 4.5 years, and then Franklin and I have been together for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. I've been with my longest-term partner for 14 years now, so I have 5 relationships that are right now at 14 years, 13 years, 11 years, 7 years, and my relationship with Eve is 4 years.
Wow. And it's amazing because, like I said, one of the stigmas of being poly is people think it's just like this sex free-for-all where you're just doing that because you don't want to commit. And, you know, actually hearing you guys talk, I mean, that is a real commitment to be with someone for 14 years or 13 years, let alone multiple people for that long.
Yeah, if you're just looking for sex without commitment, there are easier ways to find that than polyamory. I would not recommend poly as your strategy for just getting, you know,
That's true. And for, you know, for people who are new to all this terminology, when we're talking about poly, it really means multiple loves, as in mm-hmm. being emotionally and physically intimate. It's not just about kind of, you know, like just a purely sexual thing. Would you guys agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Speaking of maps, we mentioned the human sex map. Franklin has also done a map of non-monogamy.
It's great. I love that, by the way.
And there are dozens of kinds of non-monogamy on it. It's not a poster yet, but it will be someday.
Someday, yes.
Dude, I'm so into it. I've printed that out and given it to people because they ask questions, and I'm like, it's so cool. There's so much here. Just look at this. Like, it's really crazy. Yeah, you guys look that up, or I'll post a link to it in the podcast for this if you're listening and you want to check it out. But there are so many different types of non-monogamy. So when we talk about non-monogamy, non-monogamy really is just referring to not being monogamous. So literally being sexually intimate with more than one person.
Mm-hmm. And that can be, you know, just casual relationships or dating around or swinging or, you know, a zillion different ways to do it.
Totally.
And I would say polyamory is probably the most complex of all of them.
Yeah, this is not just like an easy way out. This is actually treating people as with compassion and love and respect and wanting to genuinely form intimate, long-lasting relationships with mm-hmm. more than one person. Yeah. We could spend the whole show just talking about all the different types of non-monogamy and all the structures, but I really, really want to get into this time management thing because this is definitely something, and just a little background for me, I was very fortunate to have Janet Hardy come on the show, and she, of course, is co-author of The Ethical Slut, which is kind of like, you know, our Bible, or at least for me, I love that book. But she talked about how when you have multiple partners, you really need to schedule everything and make sure you have time so that, you know, everybody everybody knows, you know, that they get a certain amount of time and nobody feels like their needs aren't being met. But I have such a problem with that because I don't like schedules. I'm very spontaneous. I don't want my life being planned out. And so I'm always looking for kind of creative alternatives to ensure that you can still give everyone the time they need without like locking yourself down. Like, I get Tuesday, you get Wednesday, that's, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what do you guys think?
Well, that's certainly one approach. And there are certain personalities that works really well for. It depends a lot on, it depends on a lot of things. You know, one, yeah, do you like to schedule? Two, you know, are your partners all local? How well do they get along? Do you live with any of them? What are their attachment styles? You know, there are different approaches. So, I mean, I think, I certainly have had a much more, generally a much more fluid approach when multiple of my partners are all local, although, you know, it's nice to have scheduled dates, but there's also a lot of opportunity to just hang out together, right? I mean, think about your friend groups, like how much is your social time scheduled versus how much of it is spontaneous? I feel like I never get enough spontaneous social time with my friends, but there's also poly style. There's, for example, there's what's called parallel poly and kitchen table poly. So parallel poly is, we also call it zero sum. So it's like, you know, I'm with this partner and then I'm with this partner. And I have, you know, blocks, my life is carved up in terms of like, you know, which of my partners I'm with. And then kitchen table polyamory is a more inclusive style where, you know, you spend time with multiple partners, and that counts as time, right? That counts as time that you're spending with them. And that, of course, depends on, well, how well do your partners get along with each other? How good is your relationship dynamic with each of them when the other one is there? Do they feel like their needs are met when that's happening? And of course, every relationship also needs solo time or, you know, dyad time to develop as well. So you can take a strictly scheduled approach. Some people do that. You can take a much more fluid and freeform approach. That is easier when people are close together, when people get along. And I think to some extent, once the relationships are better established, that becomes easier. And you can do anything in between that. But you also need to be able to communicate about what your style is and what you can offer.
I have an interesting approach to scheduling. It's pretty much always been this way in the entire 4 years we've been together, even before I started living up here in Vancouver. We are both workaholics. We are both independent business people. In the time that we've been dating each other, we have started three businesses together.
No, two.
We've started, okay, two?
Two, you bought part of my business.
Right. Okay, so we co-own three businesses now, but we launched two of them together.
Yes.
Nice.
And we're working all the time. And for us, that's quality time, right? That's, you know, both of us share that same love language of working together and co-creating together. So that is really fortunate in our case because it makes it natural and very organic to spend that time together.
For sure. For sure. But in other situations, one partner might be like, oh, we're always working. We never get to do anything quality together. Mm-hmm. And you know, you've got to communicate about that.
Sometimes, because we are workaholics, neither one of us is able to say, like, okay, time to shut down.
You know? Right. Right,
we've been totally in the middle of having sex and we've started working. I've been like, so I'm thinking about that thing we're going to do this evening and an approach to that. And
yeah, it's a whole, true fact.
Whole new twist on the word sex work, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had another question. Someone wrote in asking about the new relationship energy or the NRE, which is this idea that when you first meet someone, your passion kind of grows as a function of your intimacy over time. So when a new partner comes in, it's natural to want to give them more attention and kind of want to be around them more because it's all very new and fresh. And it's kind of like that honeymoon period. It eventually fades out. Have you guys experienced that? Or do you have advice for people when they,
oh, yeah,
that comes in? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm I think that just about everybody who's been in romantic relationships has experienced that. It's annoying, isn't it? It's like you get these constant intrusive thoughts of the other person, and you always want to be with them, and like you don't eat and you don't sleep, and yeah.
Some people love it. I can't stand it. I'm just like, all right, let's just get this part over with.
Yeah, the good stuff now.
But I know, you know, there are some people who are NRE addicts who yeah, need to start a new relationship every couple of years just so they can get that rush. So I don't know if I have time before the break to talk about advice for that situation. But just, I mean, I think it's really important for everyone to be really mindful during that period. So for the person experiencing the NRE to make a conscious effort to spend time and pay attention to their other partners that they're not feeling that with. And I think that's where maybe some of Janet's advice about scheduling comes in, because sometimes you need tools to make sure, like, you can't just be spontaneous and do, you know, let everything flow, because if you're an NRE, you're just going to spend all your time with your new partner.
Right.
You have to have some sort of ability to step out of that and say, okay, I'm going to honor my commitments, and I'm going to pay attention to people that I know I care about as well. And I think for the partners of the person experiencing NRE, it may well suck for a while, and it's important to, one, remember that it's temporary, and two, be really clear about saying what you need and asserting your needs, and, you know, you don't have to just sit there and quietly suffer.
Yeah. It does seem like with almost all kinds of relationship skills, and there are lots and lots of tools that you can use to build good relationships, mindfulness seems to be the handle that fits all of those tools.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. And in fact, not for everyone, but for me personally, becoming poly has taught me so much about how to be mindful and kind of like forced me to use that tool. It's really great. And okay, well, listen, we're going to go one more break, guys, and then we're going to wrap up the show on open relationships. So if you have any more questions, email me now or Facebook me, The Lucid Planet, Dr. Kelly. We only have a few minutes left, so stick with us. Franklin Vo and Eve Rickert will be here when I come back, just answering the rest of our questions about open relationships. So see you in a couple minutes.
Have you wanted to be intuitive or psychic but thought those gifts were only for certain people? Hi, my name is Deb Acker, and in addition to being the host of Truth Talk Radio, I'm an intuitive life coach and energy healer. I clear energy blocks to all areas of life, including intuition. Did you know that we're all intuitive, but many times we receive certain messages in our childhood that block us from being able to tune into our intuition at all times? What if you could clear these blocks to access your gifts and always know the truth in any given moment? Don't think it's possible? I was there not long ago. I thought only others had these gifts, and you were either born with it or you weren't. I now know we're all intuitive, and you can clear the blocks that stop you from being able to access your intuition on all levels. On the other side, I now help others to become intuitive, even psychic. And if this resonates for you and you're ready to own your intuitive powers, I'd love to gift you with my pattern identification session. Simply contact me on the contact page of my website, deborahacker.com. That's deborahacker.com. And let me know you heard about this gift through Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to connecting soon.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Welcome to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat Basile, the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am so thrilled that we've created this venue for all of you out there.
Dr. Pat Basile will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
What we have heard is that you want to ensure for us that we keep positive, holistic, uplifting, transformative talk radio on the air. We're excited to bring you the contemporary conversations about Lyme disease.
We promise not to let the light fade on Lyme.
So fasten your seatbelts. We've got lots more to share with you in the weeks to come.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio with Dr. Pat and help keep our mission strong on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Radio with Dr. Kelly. I am here with Franklin Vo and Eve Rickert talking about navigating open relationships. Guys, there's so much left for us to talk to, and you've been such good sports answering all these questions. One thing I wanted to bring up that people ask a lot about is the idea of the hierarchy in the relationship, that you can have a primary and a secondary, and what these terms mean. And I have a question here from Kaylee, who is a big, big fan of you guys. She says, please ask Eve if she's ever going to complete the third installment about if hierarchies can be truly ethical.
So it's really good we're not on video right now, so you guys couldn't see the face I just made. we've been getting a lot of people asking about that. I started a blog series back in June called Can Hierarchies Ever Be Ethical? And I promised three parts, and I wrote parts one and two. And then my brain froze halfway through part three, and I haven't finished it. So it's somewhere in there. I just haven't been able to get the words onto the page. But what the blog series talks about is mostly why we have such a hard time, and by we, I mean polyamorous people and people in polyamorous communities, talking about hierarchy and talking about the ethics of hierarchy. And one of those reasons is because we have differing definitions about what we're talking about. And for some reason, we can't seem to be able to agree on a definition long enough to actually talk about that particular thing that the definition refers to, whether or not that thing is a hierarchy or not. Hierarchy and the words primary and secondary are used in a couple of different ways. And there is a very, very deep and painful history to those words that Franklin goes into in a lot of depth in his memoir, The Game Changer, that history is part of the reason why a lot of people have such visceral responses to those words, and other people who maybe don't have as much experience in polyamory or who have just different experience in polyamory are like, well, they're just words. What's the big deal? So
there's this tricky thing that happens because from the day we're born, we are given a lot of messages about how love and romance works. And one of the things that we're all told over and over and over again is that there is your one true love. There is the one. There can be only one partner that you really love that, yeah, who is this guy? Some Hollywood star, Johnny Depp, is all like, you know, if you fall in love with two people, then that means you should always go with the second because you would never fall for somebody if you truly loved the first one.
And, gag
yeah,
me.
No, right?
Johnny Depp, that expert at helping.
I know, right? He's really crushing it. Anyway.
But it's hard to hear these. It's hard to hear these messages and not internalize them. So what happens is, you know, you've spent your entire life hearing these things, and then you're like, well, okay, I want to start non-monogamy, but on some really deep level, I don't truly believe that you can really love more than one person at once. So I want to know that I'm the one that my partner really loves. I'm the real partner. And I do that by telling my partner, you can have other partners, but they can never be an equal to me. I always pull over them. I want to know that you love me the most because ours is the real relationship. And it's difficult not to fall into that trap because we're just inundated with these messages that this is how love works.
And one of the things that you'll see happen is people will say, oh, well, I'm not really doing that. When I say that I am in a hierarchy or when I say that I have a primary partner, I'm just saying that that's how I prioritize my relationships. The trouble is that you very frequently will find people saying one thing and doing another. And I don't think that this is done out of malice. I think it's because, as Franklin said, we've internalized these ideas to the extent that we don't even know how much they're influencing what we do. So someone will say, well, this is my primary partner, but that just means that, you know, we live together and I prioritize them. But then you'll find, you know, if you're a person maybe who becomes involved with one of these people, you might find that there are lots of little hidden traps and landmines in there that are like, well, actually, no, there are restrictions on how close we're allowed to become, or there are expectations about what my partner will do with me versus what they can do with another person. And those are all kind of buried in that discussion of hierarchy and primary, secondary.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because, you know, I'm a psychologist and, you know, the way the mind works, we break everything down into schemas and structures to make sense of it. So not only is it our conditioning about relationships, but it's also, I think, to some extent, kind of our underlying cognitive functioning to always want to organize everything into hierarchies. So how do we have multiple relationships but not use a hierarchical way of explaining it or understanding it?
That's hard because there are a lot of things that stand in the way of doing that. The language that we use to talk about relationships is not really conducive to not having hierarchies because that's sort of the way our culture sees relationships.
Totally.
And on top of that, it can get really, really scary because when you have internalized some of these ideas or when you've absorbed some of these schemas, then the idea that your partner might love somebody else as much as they love you is scary. It brings up a lot of our primal fears of loss, fears of abandonment.
Yes.
So I think one kind of way that we can start unpacking that and start looking at it and talking about it is to use analogies. We'll see a lot of people say, well, if you love more than one person, you have to have a hierarchy. Otherwise, it's all anarchy and instability. But we know that you can have multiple kids and you can love all of your kids without having to arrange them in a hierarchy.
Yes.
And all of your kids are going to have different needs from you and you're going to have different kinds of relationships with each of them. And you'll, you know, likely become closer to some of your kids than others.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean you love them any less or any differently or that you would put one's needs before the other. Right. I think that's a really great analogy. And it begs,
I think what Franklin says about our language not preparing us for this is really on point as well because we lack shorthand. So one of the things that I try to do is I simply describe my relationships. You know, there's a woman I've been seeing for 4.5 years and we're in a long distance relationship and see each other a few times a year. I have Franklin who I live with. I've been with him for 4 years and we hope to grow old together. So, you know, a person could look at those and say, well, that looks like a primary and secondary relationship, but no, it's really not because, I am, you know, each of those relationships is free to grow on its own trajectory. Because I am in the kind of relationship I'm in with Franklin doesn't mean that I can't ever offer more to the person, you know, to the other person I'm in a relationship with, for example.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's one of the keys is recognizing that flexibility. It's not what do your relationships look like right now. It's if you start a new relationship or you have an existing partner whose needs change, are you flexible enough to accommodate that? Or are you going to say, no, I've created this structure. This structure is rigid. The structure cannot change.
Yeah. When we all know how well that works, you know, when you've got to put people in a box.
But we don't have single word shorthand that really adequately captures those ideas yet, I don't think. People use the word nesting partner. I refer to Franklin as a nesting partner. So that's one word that people use in place of, you know, what primary. Some of them might call primary. So the language is evolving.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And I think, you know, as more time, because again, being poly and being very open about it and having a community of like-minded people, this is all new, but it is definitely growing and expanding. And so we might have, you know, we'll have elders who've been going through this, and there'll be more and more people kind of like accepting this as a norm. And I'm really interested to see how it, you know, where it all goes, guys. And mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys will be out there leading the charge. I want to thank Eve Rickert and Franklin Vo so much for coming on the show. And everybody out there, remember their website is morethan2.com. Right. And you can find out about More Than Two, the book, read a bunch of stuff, and also get in touch with them to find out more about their future projects, too.
Yep.
And so, you know, guys, I feel like we barely got to scratch the surface of the listener questions and what I wanted to ask you about. So maybe in like 6 months or so, we could do another one. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. That sounds awesome. Like a blast.
Woo! Awesome. All right. Well, you hear it first. There'll be a poly navigating open relationships round two. So thank you guys again. I had such a great time. And, you know, remember, listeners, you can join me on the air every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, and find out more about the show and listen to all of our recorded shows at thelucidplanet.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also follow my crazy life at The Lucid Planet on Instagram. And next week, I will be interviewing comedian Adrian Truscott from all the way from Australia about femininity, sexuality, and more. So stay tuned for that. Light and love, and I will see you next week. Bye, guys.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.